Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I needed someone to understand my ups and downs. There you
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian and also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on X at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how are you doing?
Gabe, I'm good.
Okay, good to hear. Good to hear. I will say this. That was not, it's not a fun national championship game last night. It's the storylines are fun. Danny Hurley, seeing basically the most dominant performance in a 2-year stretch in the NCAA tournament, basically since John Wooden's UCLA. That's a good company to be in. Storylines are fun. The games from the Final Four on were not all that fun, though.
No, I think we can give the tournament a B, since we've been grading the tournament throughout. And maybe a B-minus, honestly. The first half, is competitive, and it was 6 at the half. But really, it felt very much like the women's championship game in that there was one player on the underdog team putting up massive numbers, but it was clear if you were just had eyeballs that that the other team was better, a deeper, more skilled throughout, and a truly dominant. You had two dominant teams. South Carolina was dominant on the women's side, and UConn obviously dominant with what they did, honestly, for the last 2 years, but certainly this year.
Yeah, but UConn last night, just watching them on the perimeter play defense, that was nuts. Let Zach Edey totally get whatever he wants, but 1 for 7 from three. They only got 7 threes up, Purdue did, and they were number 2 in three-point percentage all year. I couldn't believe what I was watching. You can't get run off the three-point line like that and expect to win a national championship game.
No, I think it's a credit. I think it's a credit to the athletes of UConn, but I also think it's a credit to the coaching of UConn. Like, they just completely strangled Purdue. It's why, like, I don't know whether Stephon Castle's shooting, what it will look like once he gets to the NBA. but he is a devastating defender. And and Edie was obviously tremendous, but even the shots he were making were tough over Klingon. Yep. The shots he was making, and then defensively, he was just having to do so much more work than Klingon because, you know, the Connecticut guards could get to the rim. The Purdue guards, you know, they were in handcuffs. And so it was something to watch. It was a truly dominant performance.
I mean, even watching Braden Smith bring the ball up the floor, everything was so labored the entire game.
Right.
They weathered the storm in the first half, but it was just
had an assist. He's the only player for UConn, who had an assist. That's it. No other player had an assist. That's it. The only one. He had eight. Nobody else had a single assist.
But it just, everything felt so hard, even for him. I mean, they're picking him up 94 feet and just asking. And Purdue has to go throw a screener there before half court even hits. It was so hard for him the entire night to do anything.
No, athletically they were overmatched, and Danny Hurley has them operating on all cylinders.
Yeah, what does it? I heard Jeffrey bring this up earlier, and it's hard for me not to, you know, think about this as well. Does it make sense, the AAC versus the Big East for Danny Hurley and UConn? They struggled their ass off in the American Athletic Conference. I mean, there was an eighth and a ninth place finish one year. Obviously, they did, you know, Kevin Ollie won the national championship. I understand all that. But they got into the Big East and just started cooking. I can't really make it compute in my head why that switch was ultimately all they needed to go back-to-back.
Well, some of it was, you know, Hurley wasn't here for all their struggles in the AAC, obviously. And so some of it was, I think he would have done better in the AAC than the program did. Necessarily in the AAC, but it was never logical. I mean, the truth of the matter is, it just wasn't a geographic fit. I do think that having an identity as a program matters. It matters that people sort of understand what you are. You know what I mean?
Right,
and UConn is an East Coast school that fits perfectly there, and it was always an awkward fit. In Memphis. That doesn't mean you can't do well in the AAC. It doesn't mean you can't do well. I mean, look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga does perfectly well, right? And it's not in a Power 5 conference. So you can do well outside of the Power, whatever the hell we're calling them now. And obviously, I think Danny Hurley would have gotten that program going had they remained in the AAC.
Right.
But maybe not to this level.
But with the geographic fit, considering what we've seen with realignment and the Big Ten going to each coast, like, it's just funny that we lean back on geographic fit as to part of the reason that UConn is starting to play well and winning national championships yet again in the Big East. Like, that's just funny considering what all we have seen.
No, realignment. Yeah. It's not even geographic fit. It's the AAC is a random collection of schools.
You know what I mean? Right.
It's a random ass collection. Like, Oregon is not a big fit, is a geographic fit in the Big Ten, but no one will accuse the Big Ten of being some random collection of schools that everyone wants to leave if they possibly get an invitation. And that's what the AAC is. So it's a little different than that. I mean, it's very different than that, but it is kind of amazing to think. To me, it was amazing to think there was a program that, you know, Memphis would routinely beat UConn or whatever. They'd go back and forth. I think the last time they played, the last season that they played, Memphis won at home and UConn won on the road or whatever. Like, it wasn't like UConn would dominate that series. And yet, where are the programs now? And to me, that was what struck me last night, is watching it. It looked just eons different. Purdue, too, by the way. Like, Purdue was dominated last night in the end of the second half, but just looked like a different level of basketball than what we've been seeing here at Memphis. And it makes all the sense in the world. Like, those teams are, you look at them, they have deeply experienced rosters. The transfers they get tend to stick around. They each had one grad transfer, you know, one newcomer who was a grad transfer in the starting lineup, but that was it. And then they played them heavy minutes, you know. I mean, it's just like everything we've been saying about, you know, we've talked about how in this new era it's hard to figure out the recipe or
right.
Exactly. It's really not. If there's two schools, look at the recipe. Look at Villanova once before. Look at the recipe. Look at Baylor. Look at the recipe when they were winning titles. The recipe is having good players who stick around and then augmenting them with, yeah, sure, if you can get a Stephon Castle as a one-and-done, that's great. Or if you can get a grad transfer to fill in, that's great. But, you know, bringing in players, having them stick around, having them believe in you such that they stick around, figuring out what roles they should fit in,
yep,
and then playing the hell out of them. Like, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's to say it's not complicated. You would think that Penny might look at the Final Four or look at the championship game and say, huh, what do those two programs have that we don't? You know, yeah. I mean, literally, Matt Painter, during one of the interviews before last night, he was asked, he wasn't talking about Memphis specifically, but he said, there's some programs out there that are trying to get 7-8, you know, transfers. That's impossible. You can't win like that. You know, that's what he said. And that's what's happening here.
Yeah. I speaking of the do your job, like just finding roles, last night, the Samson Johnson minutes were hilarious, weren't they? 5 minutes, 4 points. He had two lobs. He had one rebound, one assist, but 5 fouls in 5 minutes. And honestly, I'm not kidding you. I felt like he changed the game at the beginning of that second half. Just bumping and grinding, bothering Zach Edey. It made it easier for Klingon when he came back in the game. Made it easier for everybody down the stretch of that game because of those 5 fouls in 5 minutes and two lobs.
Job. This is your role.
Yes.
Right? Do this. Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think he certainly it got out of hand in a hurry in the second half.
Does it make sense? Like, we go into every single college basketball season, we talk about Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky. Like, I know UConn's a blue blood, but it doesn't feel like they're really in that conversation all the time. They've won six since 1999, and no one else has won more than three in men's basketball. And if you just sort of cross over from 1990 till now, they've won 17 in basketball in general. Why is it feel – it sort of feels like people are – and maybe it won't be the case going forward. I would imagine it won't be the case going forward. But why till now does it feel like people are just kind of hesitant to throw them in that exact – you know, in that grouping of North Carolina and Kentucky and Duke – in that same blue blood category?
Well, I mean, they're not historically. That's why, right? I mean, when we think about great franchises and dynasties and the blue bloods, you know, you think about like the Arizona Diamondbacks could win as many World Series as you want, and they're not the Yankees. You know what I mean? Just because the Yankees have been around for forever, doing it for forever, and so UConn, in terms of tradition, storied program, all of that obviously does not compare to North Carolina or to Indiana or to Kentucky or to, you know, but have they been the most successful program in this century? Not even close, right? I mean, the amazing thing is that it's three titles. I mean, in 25 years, yes, is that right? With three different coaches. It's six titles. It's six titles in 25 years with three different coaches, which is incredible. I mean, what the Pats did was incredible, right? The six titles. They also have six titles? I think they also have six titles, right?
Yeah.
They also have six titles. But they had one coach and one quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, this is six titles in 25 years with three different coaches. So why? I think some of it's happenstance and, you know, whatever, but I think some of it is how much they care, right, and therefore how much they invest. I think that is part of it, but you can't explain it all. You know, people care in Memphis. You know, people care in Memphis, and it is not won a single national championship. So it's kind of extraordinary. It is absolutely extraordinary what they've done, but I also think it's understandable why we don't consider them a quote-unquote blue blood. Blue blood.
I tried to come up with a comparison blood in college football. Like, LSU really is kind of an interesting example.
No, but LSU's been around for forever too. There's
right.
really no. It would be as if UCF. You know, if UCF just started
won
winning
six
titles,
championships. Yeah.
If won six championships, then do they become Alabama? Are they storied like Alabama?
But like, how many years after this is 30 years worth of unreasonable success on both sides in basketball. Like, how many years have to pass until it is just consistent we talk about UConn in that same capacity as
Duke, North Carolina? How many years does it take to become a Memphian? You know? Like, how many years before you're really considered a Memphian? People erect these standards, you know? And so some people say, I'm still not a Memphian. And I've been here since 96. I've been here longer than kind of UConn has been winning championships. And am I even a Memphian?
You're a Memphian.
Some would tell you I'm not. So I don't know. No, I mean, obviously they're an elite program. They are, forget elite program, they are the best program. Right. They're the best program in college basketball.
Yeah, but like it's just strange to me to see.
It's not particularly close.
It's just strange to me. Six since 99 is just wild. It's just wild with three different head coaches. And it's kind of funny how it all started with like Jim Calhoun and Gino Auriemma. Right. They hate each other. They don't really like each other.
Right.
They just don't like each other. And they all started the tradition there of winning. Do you think it has to do, like, Storrs, Connecticut, it's not like a massive market, too? Like, does that have anything to do with that?
There's a lot of small markets. Colleges are in.
Yeah, I know. It's all small markets. It's college towns.
It's a college town. You know, then why isn't whatever Fayetteville winning a million championships, or why is Coach Fayetteville bigger now? But why, like, you know who should be crushing it? Mississippi State. If that's our standard, small town, you know, Mississippi State should be absolutely crushing it.
Yeah.
So it's just not like, I don't think it's that simple. I don't think there's any way to explain it.
Yeah.
In the sense of, hey, you know, let's figure out the secret and therefore do it. I don't think there's any explaining it. I mean, a lot of it started with Jim Calhoun, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? Then the Ollie one felt like a one-off, and then it feels like Hurley is the next Jim Calhoun.
Yeah. Ollie, I mean, if I brought up my LSU thing, it's like the Ed O championship,
right,
with
exactly.
Kevin Ollie.
That was a one-off.
Yeah.
But then the other two are just two tremendous coaches. I mean, Calhoun was a tremendous coach. He built that program. He created it out of nothing. And then... And Hurley's been just incredible. He's been great. He's a maniac.
Yeah, 100%. Now, you brought up Fayetteville. Somebody's headed to Fayetteville. John Calipari. I mean, I think it's a phenomenal fit. I think it's good. Yeah, we talked about all that yesterday. Now, Kentucky, Scott Drew, is that open and shut? Is that who it should be? If he says yes, that's ultimately who you think could take over Kentucky.
He was my prediction yesterday. Jeffrey went Nate Oates.
Nate Oates said no, it looks like. Or at least put a statement out.
He very clearly said no. He could not have been more clear. That's a no. And not that anyone should have thought Danny Hurley would take that job, but he very clearly said no.
It was kind of weird. Well, the Danny Hurley one's kind of interesting.
He said my wife.
Yeah, I don't want a divorce.
Yeah, that was silly.
Yeah.
But I don't see how Danny. He said he wants to go for three. That doesn't seem it. So, of the coaches who will take the job, I don't know. The fact that we haven't heard him say, "I'm staying at Baylor," suggests that he might not be staying at Baylor, right?
Yeah.
But you know, maybe I don't know. Are they making any progress with Billy Donovan? I don't know. I can't pretend that I know. You know, where they are in the search. Those two of the names remaining, those two seem to make the most sense to me.
The Scott Drew, though, thing, if I was putting myself in Scott Drew's shoes, again, okay, I get a blank check and they start with, it's like $11 million a year to coach them. Okay, I feel okay about that. But he has turned that program into his dream job at Baylor. He's been there for 20 freaking years. I know we've seen crazier things in the past. It would be hard. If I'm putting myself in his shoes, it would be hard to leave.
And even though it was interesting to me, even though, you know, you don't want to be the man who's following the man, right? I mean, that's a general rule. It's easier.
You're following the man who started to struggle, though.
Right. It's easy. Exactly. It's easier when the man has been run off, right?
Yes.
Basically. And so he's not leaving at his zenith. He's leaving when everyone wanted him to leave. And he's really leaving because everyone wanted him to leave. It was interesting, though, because I watched Calipari's statement today where he said it's time for a new voice at Kentucky. And then I went and looked under his Twitter handle to see the responses. And it was largely, "We'll miss you, coach. We'll miss you." It was large, not entirely, but it was largely positive. And it was sort of interesting to me. I think John will be remembered fondly at Kentucky, particularly if it takes Scott Drew or whoever it is a little time to win to win a national championship or to get to a Final Four. I think John will be remembered fondly, and I don't think following John is going to be that easy for anybody. And that includes Scott Drew.
Yeah, but I agree with his new voice. I feel like that voice,
100%,
especially when you're losing to St. Peter's in Oakland. You know, that voice starts to wear thin. That salesman pitch starts to wear thin on a fan base.
Yes, but okay. So two things. One is I agree completely. Like, well, I'm totally attuned to the John Calipari BS. But when he says it's time for a new voice, it made sense to me. I think it does. Yeah. Now, it is true. He started hearing that voice, or started being aware that it was time for a new voice when Arkansas backed. Like a week ago, he wasn't talking about it's time for a new voice. A week ago, he was saying, "I got this. You know, we're going to turn it around. Yeah. I've chosen to stay for a reason. It's, you know, whatever else." So, yes, I do think it's time for a new voice, and I think it makes all the sense in the world for everybody. But let's be clear, it only became time for a new voice from his perspective when Arkansas was paying for his voice to show up in Fayetteville.
All right, we need to get your lawyer expertise. You studied law, so we need to get to John Morant here. I think there's a misnomer. There is a misnomer out there that Carol Chumney ruled that John Morant was acting in self-defense. That's not exactly what it is. Now, the idea here is that the court accepts that he can use self-defense, and he...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Used it properly, but now the burden of proof shifts to Joshua Holloway and his camp to prove that it was not self-defense. That's the idea of what happened today. Even though most people are just saying Carol Chumney ruled that it was self-defense.
Yeah. And that's not true. Right. So, but yes, I mean, I just saw the AP story said that. The AP story said headline, the rules self-defense. Now, it's a reason why nobody should be a lawyer is because it's way too complicated in the weeds. It's a reason that I stopped being a lawyer. It just was not for me. But there is a immunity. You can argue that you're immune from civil liability under the stand your ground laws in Tennessee. And I should not be held liable for what I do you know, in these circumstances. And so that's what Josh said. And so the question at this particular stage of the proceedings was, did he or did he not raise the elements properly, fairly, however you want to describe it, raise the elements and establish the elements to fairly raise the self-defense? And there she said, yes, he did. But if Holloway wants to proceed now, the burden is on him to prove that it was not self-defense. And so it doesn't. This is not the end of anything. This is a win for John Moran.
Yeah. I'd say a pretty big win, right? Because it's gonna. I'd imagine it'd be hard to turn it back around on Ja after this ruling.
I think Ja will win. I've always thought this lawsuit was a shakedown.
Of course, yes,
garbage, right? But is it going to make them fold up their tents and go home? It doesn't sound like it. You know, it doesn't. And so is it an end to the proceedings? I suspect not. But it is a victory for him, and so that's good for him. But the truth of the matter is, it's good. All this is about is Ja's pocketbook anyway, right? Like, it's not, it has no impact on this. It's a civil lawsuit. It has nothing impact on anything other than whether he'll have to pay something to Joshua Holloway. And I suspect at the end of the day he will not. But and this was a win for him. But it did not. It was not the judge ruling that he acted in self-defense.
Yeah, this thing's dragged on for too long. It's first thing we've heard about John a long, long time, though.
Lawsuits drag on. That's what they do.
Yeah. Do we know when this is actually going to proceed, though? Because my understanding with this ruling, it might delay a little bit longer.
No, we don't know what they're going to do now. Like, it partly depends on what Holloway's lawyers want to do now. Like, are they going to appeal? Are they going to? Some said they're going to challenge the constitutionality of the stand your ground. Like, I don't know. You know what their next move is, but this is not. My view would be, like, this snuck up on everybody. ESPN broke the story. Credit to them that she had made this decision yesterday, actually, and it was kind of nice that it came out of nowhere. It means that we weren't paying attention. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and we shouldn't. Like, this is a civil lawsuit having to do with a fight during a pickup basketball game. Like, come on, man, seriously, seriously. Yeah. So although I do not approve of Josh punching Joshua Holloway, the notion that we all sat in a courtroom and listened to this elaborate testimony on checking a ball, and now we've waited and gotten this ruling, all seems preposterous to me.
Yeah, it's too much. I just want to see Ja play basketball. I think that's where we're all at.
Well, happily we will, but not for another year. Tonight you can see Wemby play basketball.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. Pretty good. His last stat line, did you see that? 33 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 blocks. He's ridiculous. I we've talked about it. I just have resigned myself to the fact that he's going to be an MVP and the Spurs are coming.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like with the Mark thing done that the season's over?
Yeah, very much so.
I mean, that was it. You know, that was what we were all waiting for.
And it stinks. It feels like, you know, maybe outside of the Ja Morant on the road game winner against the Pelicans in his game back, that was the peak. Right, that's kind of the peak of, like, engagement.
That was the best moment. Yeah. That was clearly the best moment. Ja's return, game winner, here we go, you know. And that was the best moment. And it's been a pretty dismal season.
Now, let me ask you this, though. As we get into next year, and I think you and I and most people here at this station, all our colleagues, pretty positive. Yeah. About what's going to happen next year with Vince Williams Jr. and Gigi Jackson and adding a big and all that, and everybody getting back healthy. How will we look back at this year? Like, what is your prediction of how we will look back? Will we look fondly upon this year or badly? Or, you know, as you get farther away from it and how nasty it was, and the light at the end of the tunnel?
What you hope is that you will look back at this year as the year that accelerated the team into the NBA finals, right? Like, That's what she would like. It's this is the year when Vince Williams Jr. was discovered, when Gigi Jackson was discovered, when they got that lottery pick that became Donovan Klingon, who was critical to their success. This is the year when that let them catch up to once again and then surpass Oklahoma City. You know, that without this year of finding these pieces, which you might not have found otherwise, certainly with the draft pick, the lottery pick, you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. This is the year that then launched them back into the stratosphere, I think. But for us to look back at it that way, next year has to go the way we want.
Yes, of course.
There can't be injuries next year or the next year. One of the next 2 years has to go the way we want. I think there is a real potential for this team, for this year, to be looked back on as a reset and an accelerant. There's also potential that it could be looked at as the
beginning of the end.
Beginning of the end for this era. Yeah.
Let's hope not.
I think the first one sounds a little far-fetched the way I put it in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
But I think that is more likely to be true than looking
complete fall
back
off
at
the face
the
of the earth.
Era. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, you brought up Donovan Klingon, so I'll ask you, what did you think about him last night? I saw some people in the Grizzlies or Grizzlies Twitter orbit were not all that enthused with what he did last night. I thought he was fine. I thought he made some good adjustments on the defensive end.
Weirdly enough, I thought Edie had to look. I thought he made, Edie work. Even in the first half when Edie was going crazy, I thought, it's a tough shot. He's hitting some tough shots, and you can see his mobility. The thing about this draft is it's just such a garbage draft, right? That normally you wouldn't say, if I can just get a guy who's going to play, 20 minutes or 18 minutes and fill in, and that would be something that would be successful with a lottery pick, right? But in this draft, look what Reed Shepard did in his last NCAA game, right? He was a total disaster. And I saw a lottery pick where he was, mock draft where he was projected top five today. Risa Shea, the French dude who is projected in the top 10, wherever the hell he's playing in Europe now, his most recent game, scoreless. In his most recent game. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a good player someday or whatever, but he's in a horrific slump, scoreless. Stephon Castle is great. I like him.
Yeah.
He can see the floor. He's hellacious defensively. Can't shoot a lick, And so, you're not getting some perfect player. And so if you're worried that Klingon isn't going to be a modern center, well, he's not. But he is, to me, seems like a sure thing.
Yeah,
you're
saying high floor, very high floor guy.
Yeah. To me, he's he's gonna. Yeah, and for this team, you're not the Wizards. You don't need the player you're gonna build the franchise around.
Yeah,
you need a player who for the next 3 years is gonna help you get to the places you want to go, and hopefully contribute beyond. But you're in a different place. You already got Ja. You already got Jaren. You already got Dez. You don't need your best player, your second best player, or your third best player out of this draft. You don't really probably need your fourth best player out of this draft. You just need a good player out of this draft. And so that's a very different position than Portland finds itself in, or than Washington
Detroit
finds itself in, or that whatever. You pick the teams that are in the high lottery. It's a very different situation. And so I think a high floor might be what you
need.
It's
a good thing. It's a good thing. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what they do. But, Jeff, I appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
See you again.
That's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, Robert Irwin Jewelers has been hooking you up. I mean, the past 3 weeks, they've had the 60% off sales at various locations. But they have the Loose Diamond event coming up this week and through the weekend. Lowest prices on hundreds of loose natural diamonds. All shapes, sizes, cuts, clarities, and for all budgets. This Thursday to Saturday at the South Haven location of Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's an exciting time to get a loose diamond. You can upgrade the diamond you have, and remember, they will put your original diamond from your engagement ring into a pendant for no extra charge. This way you can have both, bigger, brighter, and the sentimental diamond. They have free men's wedding bands with each purchase of a diamond engagement ring. You have 20% off or up to 5 years, no interest financing. You know Howie and all the people at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they have a bunch of diamonds. But they go real overboard on looking for and bringing in the best of the best for all of their customers. So you know it's the RIJ way to always look for bigger, better diamonds at better prices. For complete details on the Loose Diamond event, go online to rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now, we do need to cover this this Ja Morant ruling from Judge Carol Chumney today. And also, looks like Memphis football has made an official hire. They have officially hired a new defensive line coach, an assistant defensive coordinator. We'll tell you who that is and what to expect from that person next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Feel is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. As we already talked about with Jeff at least a little bit, Ja Morant enjoyed a nice little win in court against Joshua Holloway for the civil suit yesterday afternoon. Shelby County Circuit Judge Carol Chumney ruled that Morant was potentially acting in self-defense when he punched then 17-year-old Joshua Holloway. Now, I think there's a lot of sloppy reporting on this right now. And if you read my show tweet, maybe it was a little bit misleading that I said he acted in self-defense. It is the presumption of self-defense. Now what is going to happen is as the civil proceedings continue to go down this path, Joshua Holloway and his side, they're going to have the burden of proof to prove that Ja Morant did not act in self-defense for them to go ahead and win a case. And ultimately, you know, the way I look at it, I think it is silly that we continue to talk about this thing. It's a civil suit that really doesn't involve us, but it does involve the star of the basketball team, the professional basketball team in our city. But it's a massive win for Ja, and I think another step into trying to put all this behind him and clearing his name moving forward. I think what you're going to see is, obviously, we know that civil suits will continue to delay and move down the line, and we'll, you know, pick it up, we'll pass the buck. But I think it's going to be really hard for Joshua Holloway's side to, you know, keep this thing going with now Carol Chumney making this ruling. If the burden of proof is now on Holloway and his side to prove that Ja Morant inflicted pain and did it not in self-defense, I just think that's going to be a hard thing to prove in civil court, especially with how long this thing's delayed. It feels like most of their evidence is out there, and it's been spoken into existence. I mean, some of the things that they've done throughout this process, Connor, they've been grasping for straws, right? They had a video of Ja Morant dunking, and they said, oh, look at the force he dunks with. That's what Joshua Holloway had to deal with. So hopefully this thing ends relatively soon, and we don't have to report on it anymore, and we can talk about Ja Morant returning to the damn court at some point next year.
It's been a ridiculous suit from the beginning, and today was just a step in the right direction to get this thing over with. It's just a mess. Like, and to be quite honest, I told you this before the show, like, you know, throwing a ball at somebody and then stepping at them,
yeah
you'll get punched in a lot of pickup games.
Usually, yes.
I've seen people be punched for that exact same thing.
Honestly, for less.
And for less.
Yes. I've seen for a foul call, an errant foul call, people get punched for less. It's just, it's insane to me that we have continued to go down this path. And let's be honest, I mean, for the most part, obviously I can't speak in any absolutes, it has felt from the outside looking in like very much a shakedown. If this was not Ja Morant, who did this?
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would there be in any way that Joshua Holloway and his family would continue to go down this path? I don't know the answer to that, But I think you know where I'm leaning and where I could potentially I would assume that wouldn't be the same case. It would not be out in the public eye. They wouldn't be trying to put the public pressure on John Moran, his side. So it's just been frustrating to follow, let's be honest. On the Memphis football front, we do have an official announcement of an assistant defensive coordinator and a defensive line coach. Spence Nowinski from Ohio, he was their defensive coordinator last year, and he led the group of five's best defensive group. They were number one in total defense in the group of five last year at Ohio when he was a defensive coordinator. I just think it continues to show, yeah, there is a massive there's a massive gap between the likes of Memphis and Boise State and all these teams at the top of the group of five and some of these teams lower in the group of five. But also it does show that Ryan, you lose Lou Esposito, who people were very frustrated when he left after a couple of months or whatever it was to go to Michigan. But you replace him with seemingly somebody better with a track record of having the best defense in the group of five. I mean, this is a hell of a hire, and I think it'll be a hell of a help to have him as the assistant defensive coordinator next to Jordan Hankins, who allowed 0 yards rushing to Iowa State in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. It just continues an offseason where I feel like there is a just ridiculous amount of momentum for Ryan Silverfield in this program. And I got to be honest, when you look at the way that this program is running now, what could come of their NIL, they are running themselves like most teams in Power Five conferences as a football program. And I think when we look at the University of Memphis, as opposed to what we thought would be the case heading into this year, I feel like the football program is absolutely holding up their end of the bargain when it comes to potentially putting this athletic department into a different stratosphere, into a better conference.
Do you think that they're actually in a better spot now than they were previously? Like, it feels like they may have hired up.
What do you mean? They leveled up?
Yes, they leveled up.
Yeah, I think that we're headed that way. And I think that, you know, I have been hearing certain things about the potential for a pretty massive NIL influx of money for the football program. I think they are leveling up at the moment. And that's a testament to all the work by the support staff, by Ryan, by all the players. I mean, it's been a phenomenal offseason. Now, obviously, that has to translate to wins on the field next year, and people have high hopes. But I don't know how you look at the past season heading till now, it's sort of in the dead heat of spring ball. I don't know how you look at it any other way besides resounding success. This has been a resounding success for everybody involved.
Yeah, it seems like they identified last year one of the major issues was the defense. And this offseason, they've really tried to rectify that situation.
Yeah, and they brought in a bunch of guys in the defensive back room. They brought in another linebacker. They brought in a bunch of guys up front. So I think it's all headed in the right direction. Now, I will say this, and this is going to lead me into small talk, but the spring transfer window is about to open up next week, and we'll see who's out and who's in, but there's already some movement. There's already some movement that we need to discuss. I have one bit of news on the basketball transfer portal and one bit of news on the football transfer portal, but I'll talk about it next when we get to small talk.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Dingers, blasts, moonshots, whatever you call them, everyone loves home runs. With FanDuel's Dinger Tuesdays, you can love them even more. That's right, Dinger Tuesdays are back for another season on America's number one sportsbook. Just bet on a player to homer, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets for every home run hit during that game, as if you needed another reason to love the long ball. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK, that's GABEK, to get in on all the Dinger Tuesday action. That's FanDuel.com/GABEK. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expires 7 days after receipt. Max bonus, $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. It's time for Small Talk.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, real quick, in the basketball transfer portal, it's totally worth mentioning here, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar We have Robbie Avila. He's getting into the portal after Josh Schertz left for St. Louis. I would imagine he goes directly to St. Louis because it's kind of funny. Pete Nakos from On3, he does some really good work with NIL and transfer portal. He said that they have a no-contact tag on Robbie Avila. So he is not going to speak to anybody else, and it looks like he's going to follow Josh Schertz to SLU. And SLU has been begging for some good basketball for a couple of years. Travis Ford definitely fizzled out. If they get all those guys from Indiana State right over to SLU, I think they can have some real success in the A-10.
Yeah, this is great. I'm excited about it.
I'm very excited about it. To have him in St. Louis, I think the people in St. Louis, a lot of my hometown brethren, they'll be happy to go watch him at old Chaffetz Arena.
The people need Derry Bird in the tournament.
Yeah, they do. They really,
it's what we need.
Really do. Now, the portal for spring football is going to open up in a week, and it'll be open for 15 days. And there's a guy by the name of Bear Alexander, if you remember him. He's a defensive tackle. He was a five-star, went to Georgia out of high school from IMG Academy. He has already said he announced his intention to transfer from USC, and he wants to get in the transfer portal. Now, what's interesting about him is, like, in this freedom of movement, player empowerment era, I always have said, yes, I like that they have this player empowerment. I like that they're able to get to different schools and get to better situations. But Bear Alexander, his journey from his freshman year of high school on because of his ability to play football, it's kind of nuts. And I don't know if it's the best for him, to be honest with you. Did you know this would – so last year was his sixth year since his freshman year in high school. He has been to a different school, transferred schools, even in high school. He's been at a different school every single year the last 6 years. He started at Terrell High School in Texas, went to Ryan High School in Texas, transferred out of there to IMG for his junior year. His senior year went back to Texas to a place in Dallas called Skyline. Then he opened up his college career playing at Georgia and then ultimately transferred to USC, and now he's back in the transfer portal. So 7 schools in 7 years is what Bear Alexander is going to be dealing with. And I think that this is a little bit of a drawback with the transfer portal. Yeah, I mean, how many people does he actually know? Where are his friends from? I mean, he's not in one place long enough to actually make friends, the lifelong, like these relationships that should stick with him for a lifetime. And that was one of the biggest things that I absolutely loved about my high school days and my college days, staying for 5 years at Memphis. Like, these relationships you build by staying at places for multiple years, they grow stronger. And Bear Alexander, 7 places in 7 years is what he's fixing to do here, getting in the transfer portal. That's nuts. That's insane. I think we can all admit that, right?
Yes.
I think that's fair to admit that you should not be at 7 different places with all these different surroundings in 7 straight years. But Bear Alexander plans to enter the transfer portal from USC. Now, we need to go ahead and finish up this half hour here before we pass you off to Grizzlies versus Spurs. Christian Fowler, who joins every single Tuesday, he's next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.